Friends, you may be seated. Many things don't get better with age. Singing voices and nighttime reading eyes. But I wonder if we rewind for just a moment. A wonderful welcome that I received this evening from Tom. He is a neighbor, a colleague, and a friend, and it's always good to flirt with another denomination. This week, among all the wonderful gifts that we have of worshiping together, is to kindle again that sense of sacred envy, to appreciate the Christ that we meet in our brothers and sisters when the words are different and the worship is different. It is still the same Lord. But if we rewind for a moment, even before our gospel reading this morning, standing before this now darkened and empty, lonely cross, I wonder, can we really see what the disciples saw? Try as we might, can we really feel what Mary felt waiting and crying and longing in front of that tomb? Sealed tight. We're already leaning in towards the warmth of morning light. We've kindled the fire and we long for the smell of turned soil and the sound of a scraped stone and the deep breath of a tomb set free. But on this night, before any scripture was written, before any stone was rolled away, hope was dead. For Mary, love was gone, and Jesus' body taken down from that terrible cross and laid in the dark of a tomb, a night seeming to stretch beyond forever, the darkness not even having a candle to light its way. All goodness was sealed away, all aspirations, speculations, permutations silenced with the thud of a stone. And Mary and the community were stuck between a lonely cross and the endless dark of a tomb sealed tight. Might we just for a moment huddle before the fire with Peter. Tonight, even for just a second, might we linger in the uncertainty and stand, however briefly, in Mary's place before dawn has broken, before hope is born again. Can you imagine knowing Christ in all His fullness, knowing Jesus in the flesh, all His grace and love and self-emptying strength? And then can you imagine it gone, dead, sealed away, shut down, so uncertain, so unsure, so unknowing of the good news yet to come, stuck between an empty cross and the endless dark of a sealed tomb. This is the journey the prodigal son took. Having hit rock bottom, he turns again towards home. He turns again towards wholeness, knowing that what has gone before can't maintain. And at last, his tired eyes glimpse the house over that hillside, yet he only knows there is so much that he cannot know. And his heart races in fear of how he will be received. But he cannot yet see. He cannot yet know that just over the hill, just beyond his sight, his Father is already running towards him. All he knows is that his world cannot be the same, but his Father's love, his Father's grace is still hidden, and the good news has not yet reached him. This is to be stuck between an empty cross and an endless tomb. This evening I received a text message from a youth back in the USA saying, "Pastor Dave, I'm looking forward to Easter tomorrow morning, but I just don't know. Is my faith in vain? I feel dead inside. Do you think God tests us or just doesn't care?" This is the kind of pain that lasts all the night long, before we can even begin to know the joy that comes in the morning. Tonight in Troon, a family far from the land of their child's birth sleeps separate from their parents for the first time in many years. Only blocks away, but it might as well be a sea. The flash of bombs still scorches the inside of their eyes as they lay upon their couch, which is also their bed, which is also their kitchen table. Their son's shoes were lost on the bus, and their coats were made to keep off the sun, not keep in the heat. And the shrapnel still litters their bodies, though the flesh has healed, but their scarred souls will take much, much longer to mend. The war is behind them now that they are here in Troon, but there are battles still ahead. They know not what waits for them in the morning, and the air is cold, and the world is strange, and in the dark of night, it seems to stretch out beyond forever. Friends, each soul on this wounded globe one day faces its own Easter vigil before the fire is lit, before the hymns are sung, before hope is reborn. When we know that the old way of being cannot hold and yet the way forward has not yet emerged, when the pain of the night threatens the joy of the morning that we had longed for, that we had prayed for, that we had hoped for, stuck between a lonely cross and a dark sealed tomb that goes on endlessly. This is the broken world that we call home. These are the broken hearts that beat in the still of the night. And we gather tonight remembering that the world is full of many kinds of death, many kinds of tomb, large and small, sealed with all sorts of stones. And we know that the world isn't in need of resuscitation. The world is in need of resurrection. Tonight we know that Christ took all of our brokenness, all of our hate, all of our fear, and all of our falsehood and nailed it to that lonely cross. We know that Christ has laid bare all of our delusion and our illusions, all our sin and separation. We see plainly all that pulls us away from our truest selves, our best selves, all that threatens to mar the image of God born within us all, and all that justifies the violence without. And the pain of this night, before the hymn, before the fire, we long again to know the joy of the morning. This is to confess our brokenness. This is to be assured again of God's grace already at work in the world. This is to pass through the waters of our baptism. Because, friends, the truth is we know. We do know, in a way, what Mary knew. The truth is that too often we only see the endless tomb and an empty cross. And tonight we don't need resuscitation. We need resurrection for dead hopes and betrayed dreams, for dry bones and parched throats. So friends, gazing upon this lonely cross, don't you for a minute forget that it isn't an endless, empty, sealed tomb. That stone will be rolled away, and that air, that spirit of new life will flow in and out and around hearts as sealed off as yours. Don't forget that the waters of the font behind us, don't forget the light of that fire we lit, or the hymns that we sing, or the light that flickers in your hands even now. So let us pour the waters, let us light the flame, let us kindle again the hope of our one baptism. For ours is a God who became weak in power to be strong in love, and your faith isn't now, nor ever is it in vain. As we turn to the renewal of our baptisms, remember that yes, pain will last through all the night long, but joy, friends, joy, it comes in the morning. And the tomb is empty, and our God is alive, and we can breathe again. Hallelujah. Amen.